Good morning. Let's pray together. Lord, we sing the words of that song that we're free. May we never forget that. We're free because what you've done for us, and we worship you because you alone deserve our praise. You've changed us. Therefore, we worship you. It's good and right to. And our only response is to worship you. So thank you for what you've done. Thank you for who you are. Pray that you would be with us this morning. Thank you for your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about proclaiming hope. So three weeks ago, Pastor Tom talked about being motivated by Christ and not fearing man. 2 weeks ago talked about we live our lives, we're on display. We live such good lives among those who think we're wrong that they would have cause to give God praise. And when they ask about the hope that is within us, we're compelled to tell them. And so last week we talked, we share our story. Here's who I was before, without hope, broken. I encountered Christ and the truth of His gospel, and He's changed me, and I'm a different person. So this morning, in a real simple fashion, just want to share, what do we share? We share a story about Christ has changed us, but they need the gospel. How do we share the gospel, the good news of Jesus? You know, you read through the book of Acts, and they shared the gospel over and over again. What I love about it was never really difficult. It was like Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he stood up among the authorities and said, Jesus came, you put him on a cross, he died, he was resurrected, now he's coming back, we have new life, repent. That was the gospel. Because really, that's the foundation of the gospel. It's also interesting, we read through the Gospels and Jesus heals a bunch of people early on in His ministry. I remember He said, don't tell anyone. And what do? They went and told everyone. And then Jesus says, go and share the good news and proclaim the gospel to all. But why is it that so few of us share when we're told to? So hopefully just walking through the elements of the gospel, I'm hoping, and maybe these are already familiar with you, may they be a reminder just how simple it can be to share the good news of who Jesus is, what He's done. That's what I want to do this morning, because we can all do this. We all should do this. We know the hope of how we've been saved. We know the hope, and the only answer is Jesus. He is our only hope. And even if you just read through, different verses through the book of 1 Peter, which we've been talking through, it lays out the gospel in a very compelling way. I want to share some verses just to walk through those things with you. The first is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. It says, He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through Him you believe in God who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him. And so your faith and hope are in God. It talks about the manifestation of Christ, the incarnation. He came to us as a human. He says, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. That's the incarnation. The next one is chapter 2, 1 Peter 2, verse 24. It says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds we are healed. He came and He took on our sins. It's amazing. He took our place. That's the substitutionary atonement that He did for us. The next verse is 1 Peter 1, verse 3. It says, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Not only did he come as a baby in the incarnation, he bore our sins, but he rose from the dead. He defeated death. Amazing. Next one is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. He who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. So not only was there resurrection, but where is he now? He's in all authority. Over all the other authorities and powers on the earth, he stands and he reigns over all powers. If we're in Christ, what can be against us will never win, because he has all the power and authority. It's an amazing thing. The next verse, is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming." He's coming back. He came once, he was in incarnation, he bore our sins, he defeated death, he sits over reign of all authority and power, and he promises, "I'm coming back." The good news of the gospel is amazing. The next verse is 1 Peter 3, verse 18. It says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit." When he comes back, he's alive in the spirit, and all things are going to be great. We're going to be reunited, and things are going to be eternally in relationship and good with God our Father. It's amazing. And we still live here on earth, and it's difficult. And the next and last verse I want to share from 1 Peter is chapter 1. Verse 7, he's talking about the trials that we face in this world and as believers, and he says, "These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even through refined fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." The trials that we face right now, he is using that, and he's refining us as in fire. And one day he'll come and make all things new, and we've been refined by God, who uses these things to make us more like his Son. Because the reasons that we hope in Jesus. He is holy. He came. He died. He rose again. He reigns, and he is coming back. That's the gospel. That's the foundation of why we're changed and why we have hope. It's an amazing thing. And he's working out all things to make them new, everlasting, good in his time. So when people ask, we bear witness to this. We don't need to persuade anyone. Only God can do that. We bear witness to the fact that he came, he bore our sins, he died, he was resurrected, he's coming back. And he wants to have relationship with you. The gospel. It's an amazing thing, the foundation of our Christianity and our beliefs. There's a lot of different ways to share the gospel. I just want to share a few things, because we need to be able to share regularly about the hope that's within us. Sometimes it's just good news, bad news. You know, you've talked about my hope, or you've talked about my Christian faith. Yeah, I do. I'm going to talk about the good news and bad news. The bad news is that we've all sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there's nothing we could do. We're separated from God. And the bad news gets worse. The wages of our sin is death. We deserve death. We're separated from a God who is life. And because we're separated from a God who is life, we don't just suffer physical death, but we suffer spiritual death. It's an eternal death. That's the bad news, but there's good news. Good news is that God, who created all things, wanted to have relationship with us, even though we are separated from Him by our sin, and He sent His Son Jesus. And just how the bad news got worse, the good news gets better. God made Him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. That's great news. And the great news gets even better, because it's nothing we do. We could never earn that gift that God has given to us. It's a gift. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For it's by grace that you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. And it's not a result of works, so that no one can boast." So there's great news out there. Question is, do you want to receive that good news? Because of the bad news in your life and my life. It's one way to do it. It's kind of a simple, blunt, to the point. There's a lot of different ways that we can share the gospel. There's people in our church that do it and they teach it. You talk to Archie and Laura Gunn, who teach and train people how to do the wordless book. They would love to share more with that. Trained a lot of our youth who have gone through the wordless book with children. Navigators is known for their evangelism. Talk to Ron Knauer, and he would love to talk to you. You go to Ron and say, "Hey, I hear Navigators has some great ways." They love you. And you'll have him. Like, he would be so excited, because that's what he does. He shares the gospel over and over, and he trains people how to share the gospel. Crew does a fabulous job of this on college campuses. BillyGraham.org. You want some resource, just go to BillyGraham.org and you'll find everything you need to share some gospels. The important thing is that we use scripture to share the truth of who God is. It's interesting, I took an evangelism class in seminary, and one of our projects was to get about 30 or 40 tracts, those little booklets from the bookstore, and we had to read through them and discuss how bad the theology was in a lot of them. We need to be careful. That's why use scripture. You use resources that scripture is the foundation of what it says. Because scripture is the one that tells the truth of who Jesus is. And when we're reading scripture, we know that it pierces to the soul the truth of the gospel. Because God's word, through the power of His Holy Spirit, is what will pierce people's hearts. So just want to walk through a couple things today. And a lot of you know maybe the Romans Road. The Romans Road is a basic thing that just walks through the book of Romans. Shares the truth of the gospel. Sometimes people will say, "You know what, but I don't believe the Bible is God's word." Which is a great question. But a lot of times if I'm on this journey, I've shared about the truth of my life, this is my story and how I've been changed, do you want to hear more about the gospel? Yeah. And I would say, "You know, I want to read some scripture." "Well, I don't believe God's word is the Bible is God's word." We'll talk about that, but can I just share God's word? I didn't ask you if you believed if it's God's word or not. I just asked you, do you want to know the central message of the scriptures? And we'll talk about, you know, where you are with that, but let's get to the God. Let them start reading God's word to penetrate their hearts. So we'll talk about that, but because you have to admit, the Bible is the most important book in all of world history. It's the most read, it's the most translated, it's the most celebrated. Many nations were built on its foundation. It's the plumb line for philosophy. There's no doubt that this book is the most important book in all of human history. So for you to just reject the central message of what it has to say without even having read it, that's not very intellectual, is it? So you're an intellectual person. Let's just see what the central message of what the scriptures say. Would you like to do that? Well, yeah, that sounds fine. Just take a few minutes, and this is called the Romans Road because it goes through the book of Romans, which is a book in the New Testament, and begins with, you know, you're setting the foundations in creation, chapter 1, 18 through 20. It talks about the wrath of God being poured out because He's created a world and they've gone wicked because they've gone astray from Him. And since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. He just talks about God, and He was a creator. We look around, and there's obviously some type of designer, and God, Scripture teaches, created the world and everything in it. And everything we see, even when we see the beauty of things, it points to a creator and a God. But things aren't as they should be, and so we talk about Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sometimes, not all the times, but I'll say, hey, will you read this? When someone reads God's Word, how powerful is that? Will you read this to me, and I'll just tell you what it means. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It means none of us live lives as we're created to live. We've walked away. We somehow have missed the mark. We're not loving. We're not kind. We're selfish. We live for our own pleasures most of the time. And when we live lives like that, it's apart from what God wants for us and His goodness and His joy and in His love. And we're not as we should be because we have done things against a holy God. That's why there's so much hurt in the world. Wouldn't you agree that people are selfish and there's a lot of hurt in the world? Yeah, there is. Because we don't walk with God. We've been separated by Him. Next verse is real close. It's Romans 6:23, and it says, for the wages of sin is death. Ouch. That's kind of brutal, isn't it? But you picture a holy, perfect God who has created some people who have rebelled against Him. It creates this separation from Him. But that's not where the verse ends, is it? There's a but there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. God, who is holy and perfect, He must judge because He's good. But He also is loving because He is good. And the way He solved this, the way He loved, is through sending His Son, Jesus. That's why it says the next verse, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates that love for us in this. While we are still sinners, Christ, He died for us. He is the means by which we can be reconnected to a holy God who loves us and wants relationship with us. That's why it says the next verse, Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The wrath of God has been fully satisfied on His Son, Jesus, because He poured out His life. He died for that sin that separated us. So God poured out His justice, poured out His wrath on the one who was sinless, who was able to pay that penalty. Therefore, there's no condemnation. That's good news. So the central message of Scripture that we were separated from God, and God has made this provision for us to be connected and have relationship with Him. That's awesome. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, that sounds pretty neat. You want to know how to enter into that relationship? Because it's a gift. The next two verses talk about that. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and when you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. It's a gift, but you need to believe what He's done. And He'll open your eyes to understand that. And when you believe that and you confess and you repent of your sins and say, God, I want to have a relationship with You, and I believe what Christ has done for us, for me. That's how we enter in. That's how we start a relationship. But the great thing about Christianity and faith. We're not just calling people to make a propositional statement. We're calling them into a relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. And when we realize that God has died for us, and how powerful that is, He calls us to follow Him. So we're still on the road. We're still on the road. We follow Him, and this is a call on our life. We don't want people just to make statements and be done with it. No, we're on that road. What does that look like? We want people to be in a relationship because that's the gospel. As we walk with them to maturity and they find their place in the body of Christ, that they can find maturity and growth. That's why the next verse is Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters. So in light of what you just confessed and what you believe about what Christ has done for you and entered into that relationship, it's by the mercies of God. By God's mercy to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. The only right response is to worship Him. This is such good news because of who He is and what He's done to make us saved and to have a relationship with. The only proper response is to live a life of worship. So that's why I go to church. You know, you explain, this is why I go to church. This is why I'm in Bible study. Because it's my life is an act of worship because of how good He is to me. In verse 2, and don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. You know, we need to talk about when the truth of Christ and what He's done for us, we want to accept that, He changes us. It says we are transformed. It's a passive verb, meaning it's done to us. So it's not like, you know, I understand this, and yes, I want to worship God for who He is and what He's done, and so I'm going to start doing my best to change myself. No, that's not how it works. It's being done to you. When you're in God's Word, God's Word changes you. You're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why we talk about that next step is next week, getting into Scripture and maturity and growing in our faith. So we tell people, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may test or approve what God's will is for our life. We want to test and approve. It's like, I've been walking with God for over 20 years. And in that 20 years, when I've lived for God's Word and I've tried to keep it consistent in my life, He's brought blessing. I can attest to that. He's good. He's brought blessing in my life. It's been right. It's been good. It's been acceptable to me and for others and for God. Yeah, I've missed out on some temporary things here and there. But whenever I respond to God's Word, it hasn't brought hurt to other people. It hasn't brought shame. It hasn't brought embarrassment or guilt to me. I can tell you His ways are perfect. It's better than my way. Because when I want to try to live my own way, when I want to try to deal with conflict my own way, find pleasure in life my own way, I can attest from my own experience that usually there's scars and I've hurt other people. His ways are good. They're acceptable. They're perfect. I can attest, this is my story. This is Him in my own life. That's the Romans road. How good is that? It's walking through Scripture, talking about the gospel of Jesus. Another one that's a lot of people like, and maybe a lot of you know, but let's review it together, is just the bridge illustration. A lot of people call it napkin evangelism. You're at Chick-fil-A with a buddy or having coffee with a friend, and you just grab a napkin and a pen or some scratch paper, and you know, you're in this dialogue, you know, you've talked about the hope you see within me, and I've shared my story before and after. Let me tell you the central message of God real fast. I want to point out some things. It's just a diagram. We're over here, man is over here, and God is over here, and you see there's this separation in Isaiah. And then you just write it down, Isaiah 59:2. You know, you simple illustration, here's us, here's God, there's separation. What does that mean, Isaiah? It says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you. God is holy, and we're not. And so there's this chasm, this separation because of our sins, it says. Then you can even ask some of the, you know, evangelism explosion questions of, you know, if, I don't know where you are in your spiritual life, but if you were to die tonight, are you sure you'd go to heaven? And most people say, I hope so. I actually talked to a lot of Christians, ask this question, and for a Christian to say, I hope so, I always say, gosh, that's not a good place to be. Man, how does that hang over you? How do you have peace with that? Wouldn't you want to know for sure? You can't know for sure. So on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, where would you say you are of going to heaven? You know, 7, 8 on a good day. And I don't know if that's good enough. I want to share some scriptures that say you can be sure. You can be confident in this. You can walk upright and be confident knowing that you will spend an eternity with a God who loves you. Would you want to know that? Yeah. If you were to die tonight and hypothetically God said, why should I let you in? What would you say? You know, I've tried real hard. I've done some good deeds and, you know, this type of thing. It is a lot of the conversation. And so, you know, I'll write those up on the diagram, kind of sharing the, you know, the little bit of a bridge, but it doesn't go very far. You know, I'll try to do good works. I'll try to go to church, maybe pray for people and help the poor. And maybe that'll be good. And so you're saying like, you're gonna try to do more good than bad, and hopefully God grades on a curve. And you're not as bad as Hitler or Stalin or, you know, whatever else, people from history. Yeah. I just want to share the reality of what the Bible says our state is as humans. And then we go to Romans. Best place to go to Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we've sinned. I write that in there. And then 3:23, the wages of sin is death. So we've sinned, so we're separated. We deserve death. And it doesn't stop there. Hebrews 9 says, just as people are destined to die once, and after that they face judgment. Well, that's a tough place to be. Sinned, separated, we deserve death and judgment. No wonder there's a separation. That's a tough place to be. But let's look at God. What does it say about God? There's a verse that talks about God, and I mean there's many, but this is a great one from John 5:24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life, will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. So we've got life, no judgment, and no death. How beautiful is that? How good is God in that? That sometimes I'll even cross out this side. Like, okay, sin is taken care of, death is taken care of, and judgment is taken care of. That's what God wants for us, but we're still separated. How do we bridge that gap? Because that chasm is huge. You know, am I going to do the best I can for as long as I can? Give to the poor, help people, try to do good? Like God says that chasm is huge. He actually says it's an eternal separation. Think of it this way. If we, kind of in this sense, if we both had, you know, a rock in our hand, and let's say you know, heaven kind of is the idea of the North Pole. And we try to throw our rock as hard as we can. You know, some athletes will throw further than others. I might be able to outthrow you one day, and maybe you can outthrow me. But if we throw our rock as hard as we can, we might get it, what, to 1010 Road? Maybe on a good day into the neighborhood right over there. Nowhere even close to the North Pole. Not even close. So how do we do it? That chasm we'll never be able to cross on our own. That's why we go to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It's by grace that you've been saved. Through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. There's actually a verse in Isaiah that says our good works, our good deeds are like filthy rags. We will never be able to do enough to get over this chasm, to be close to God. And so if you're sitting there and take this pen, put an X where you think you are. Are you with man? Are you with God? Someone thinks they're with God. Remember, we talked about this. The reason a lot of people think you're with God and the answers you gave are good works and helping the poor and those type of things. And that scripture says that we're not even get anywhere close. That's why God created a bridge to get us over to the other side. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He bridged the gap because of what he did for us. There's no way we can do it on our own, but we can do it because of what he did, and we accept that gift that he's given. He bore our sins on our behalf because it's the only thing that's going to make us right with God. Or you can use 1 Peter 3:18, which is another beautiful verse. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. How do you get from here to there? I want to go back to John 5:24. How do you get from here to there? It says, he who hears my word. So what I've just shared, you've heard the word. You've heard the truth of what God has done for you, what Christ has done for you on your behalf. But that's only half of it. Then it says, believes in him who sent me will have eternal life. It's hearing and it's believing in what he did for you. So let me ask you a question. You've heard this. Do you believe it? And kind of the same thing with the Romans. We don't just want a propositional statement, but there is this starting of a relationship with God through prayer and repentance and accepting that through confessing and believing. But it doesn't stop there. And then we hopefully can walk through follow-up and conversations and plug them in. And it's not real difficult. Take some effort to kind of know the verses and have them handy. Maybe you have a little bookmark in your Bible and you can just turn to them and here's the verses in Romans, or here's what the verses look like on the little diagram. Every time I go to the dentist, I share this with them. No, I'm just kidding. I don't do that. But every time I go to the dentist, they model for me how to floss my teeth. Here's how you do it. You just... And you can't talk, so you're like, okay, whatever. And they just floss all your teeth. I was like, that was sweet. It's that easy. I'm like, yeah, that was pretty easy. What I've tried to do is just to model. It's easy. But just with flossing, it's easy, but I don't do it very often. It's hard to floss. Even though it's easy, it's hard to do it. The gospel, sharing the gospel really isn't, it's simple. Maybe we need to make it more of our prayer life to pray for that boldness and those opportunities. Maybe you just need to write this out and get comfortable with it. So it's for me, in conversations, because I've done it so many times, it just comes out. I was able to do it yesterday. We were just having a conversation. Hey, I want to share some truth. Happened about a week before yesterday. Because when it's in you and you just know it, it's just so easy just to walk through some of the elements. You don't have to go through it all, but just some of the elements, the truth of the gospel. We've been called not just to know Him, be saved by Him, but as the Father sent me, Jesus said, I am sending you. Because there's a lot of people in this world that don't know any of these verses. It may just seem like repetition for you, but they've never heard it. And how are they going to believe unless they hear? Let's pray together. God, You are so good. We stand in awe of who You are. And when we think about the gospel and what You've done to us, You bore our sins. So sometimes we just, I can't believe it. Like, it's so good. Lord, I pray that You would embolden us. You would continue to allow us each day to be grateful that You have chosen us to know You. Would You give us opportunities through the power of Your Spirit this week? And I pray that we would be in tune with Your Spirit, that prompting of Your Spirit, and we would obey those promptings. In Jesus' name, amen.